You are listening to the eReal Estate Coach Podcast, featuring RealTrends top 500 broker, Jim Remley. On this show, we interview interesting people in the real estate industry to help agents, broker owners, and team leaders accelerate their performance.
Okay, guys, so we have a special guest, maybe the most important guest I've ever had on a podcast, my wife, Danielle Remley. So Danielle is a rock star in her own right. She owns a property management firm with 700 plus stores. And so one question I get a lot is, because people know that my wife, Danielle, has this incredible company, should I, if I own a brokerage, should I create a property management arm of my brokerage? Or if I already have one, how can I grow it? So since I'm not the expert, my wife is, I thought, well, let's just talk to the person that knows the most about it, Danielle. So, welcome to the program, Danielle.
Hi, everyone.
It's weird to call her Danielle. I don't ever call her Danielle. So let's start off. I think with brokerage owners and people that may be thinking about going this route with adding a property management arm to their business, one question would be the name that you're going to brand your property management company with. Now, you bought the company from somebody else. But when it started out, the company was the same name at this company that you own now was the same name as the brokerage, which our brokerage is John L. Scott. So originally it was John L. Scott, property management. What do you think about that? Having the same name as the real estate company, you think it hurts, helps? Is it a good idea, bad idea?
I think it's been better to have a different name. I wouldn't probably choose my company name is Sterling West Property Management, which probably wouldn't have been my choice of a name, but I bought into it with that name. But I do think that business was definitely better after changing the name. Something about people feeling like if you're the same name as the brokerage, back then we were John L. Scott Property Management, people felt like, I don't know, they had to be a John L. Scott client in order to use the property management division. I think it also hurt having other agents refer business to us, other agents from other brokerages. They didn't want to put their business in with, you know, their competitors is the way that they looked at it. So I think it's been a good thing.
And I think just on the side note of that too, I think the clients get a little bit of confusion in that if they have a problem with the property management arm, they call the brokerage leader and say, hey, I'm going to complain about the property management, thinking they can get some kind of resolution. And then you get tenants that do the same thing. Tenants will call all the time and say, I have a problem with the property management team. And you're like, I don't have any control over that. Or we don't even own that branch. That's a different ownership. So we experienced that. And I was a little bit, but so that kind of leads into, eventually you bought this company and then it was rebranded Sterling West Property Management. At one point, you were, of course, in the actual building of John L. Scott, and then you made a decision to move it out of John L. Scott and go into your own location. Why did you do that? What was the decision? Why make that decision to go outside?
Actually, it took me a long time to make that decision. I really loved being inside the office and having all the activity with the brokers, and we just happened to be inside the biggest office around. So, I mean, it was a great referral network for me. The main reason we decided to move really was space. We had this tiny little cubicle for five employees and all of our files. It was before we went to digital filing, and we were just outgrowing the space, really. So that was my biggest motivation for moving. Although, you know, there were other issues where I didn't have my own presence. I didn't have my own property management, like signage. I was wrapped up into the brokerage's phone system. So even when they called me, they got the John L. Scott, music that was playing and advertisements and stuff like that. So I really didn't, until I moved, I don't think that the company was really treated like its own entity. So moving was a really good thing for us.
I think, I know we've talked about it. One of the advantages of being in the company when you were in the building was that you got a lot of referrals from agents in the building, of course, because it's just like a sister company. But then when you moved out of it, so it's a kind of catch 22, because then other brokerages like that are unassociated with the company are less likely to send referrals. But then when you moved out and you went on your own, you had your own location, you suddenly started getting referrals from other companies, correct?
Yeah, and not only did I mean, I got a lot of referrals from other companies. I got asked to come speak at other sales meetings. Yeah, we just became a whole, it was a whole different ball game almost immediately after we moved, as soon as we had our own signage up. And the fear that I had was that the agents that I worked with inside John L. Scott would not work with us outside of John L. Scott, but that wasn't the case either. I mean, we kept our same network, and then we just expanded it with the rest of the valley. So it was great.
So let's just talk about the actual property management business and kind of that, how you run the business so successfully. You're one of the number one property management companies, if not the number one property management company in our community. And that happened pretty rapidly. And there's some big
Yeah.
tough competitors here. So in growing from when you took it over 200 doors to now 700 doors plus, let's talk about that evolution. So where does your business come from? Is it word of mouth? Is it marketing? Is it a combination of these things? I mean, where's your business coming from now?
It definitely a combination. Word of mouth, as you know, the jump from 200 doors to like 500 doors was a really long process. I mean, the problem with property management is that you bring on doors every year and you lose doors every year because you're working with investors. So they're buying and selling. So it's like you get up 50 and then down 50 and up 20 and down 20. So this was probably 5 years of back and forth and jumping from the 200 mark to the 500 mark. But then once we got over that 500 mark hump, it feels like now people just call us every day. So we're almost in a place now where the advertising isn't really mattering as much because it's just word of mouth and it's investors that we're already working with that are just bringing on more properties and putting them in our company. But it was definitely a combination. We did a lot of advertising. We did billboards and we did a lot of social media advertising, and we did a lot of community events that were to help team building and to help be in the community because we wanted to help, but also just got our name out there as well. And then I think if you just consistently deliver good services, then people just find you and come to you. Your reputation just starts to grow.
So I know one challenge that you had taking over a company is that the quantity versus quality. So when you first took over, you had a lot of things that were not the best units, and over time you've weeded those out and you've replaced it with higher quality units. Let's talk about quantity versus quality because that's important.
Yeah, so when you're competitive like I am, you get this idea that it's just more doors, more doors. The number of doors, I want to be the biggest in the valley. I want to have 1,000 doors. And then when you're in it, you start to realize that that's not necessarily, I mean, if you can get your ego out of the way, you're not necessarily making more money just because you have more doors, first of all, because if you bring on a bunch of owners that are difficult to work with or that are unwilling to handle repairs or unwilling to let you do your job, they're just a time suck. They're taking up all your time, and your 10% or 8% or whatever you're making off those doors is lost in manpower. You also tend to have the worse the property is, usually the worse the tenants are, the more needy they are, the more complaining, or they're not paying their rent, or you're just chasing after them. So the quality of doors is what has become the most important thing to us, and we won't just take on any property. We won't necessarily, even if they're great properties, take on any owner. I mean, there's a lot of owners that I've politely let go because they're not letting me do my job the way that I need to do it, or letting me stick to the laws that I'm bound to. And it's just not worth it. You're not making any money off of those people.
But this brings up another interesting question, which very similar to real estate. First of all, that was similar to real estate in that we don't take every agent. We want to have high quality agents versus quantity. So I think it's definitely relatable to brokerage owners. But on the flip side, too, commissions. So you have a commission, you're getting a fee for every property you manage, just like agents get a fee for selling properties. everybody's has this commission compression happening. Everybody's trying to get a deal. And there's always a race to the bottom. The same thing in property management. I know you're competing with people that are charging like a $75 flat fee to manage properties and things like that.
Yeah.
And so you get people asking you the same question. Will you discount your fees? And I know you've taken a stance that no, you don't. And what's that conversation look like? Because you've gone the other route. You're saying, oh, we're a high quality company. This is it, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to deliver the services that we are able to deliver, we're at the top of our market. And that just cuts it. I mean, really, we should be getting paid more. That's how we feel. But that's not going to happen. So we have to stick to it. We do give a discount for multiple properties. Like if an owner brings on, you know, a lot of properties at once, we'll give a small discount for that. But for the most part, we stick with it. The conversation is that you always get what you pay for, period. If you take the discount property management company, you're going to get discounted services. You take the high-end company, you're going to get stellar services. Now you have to be able to back that up, right? You have to have systems in place that my owners can see that, yeah, she told me that, and that is the truth. You know, they've never done me wrong. They are consistently giving me good service. Then they tell their friends, their investor friends, they tell everybody around them, like, yeah, they're a little more money, but they're, you know, you put your property in their company and then you don't ever have to worry about it again. And so we did for a minute. We thought, oh, we need to do this. We need to be competitive and discount our prices. And honestly, those owners were the owners we normally wouldn't have taken on anyway. So it just wasn't worth it.
So that brings up another question, which I know we have in real estate and you have as well, in that somebody will state a price like the $75 flat fee, but then there's hidden costs.
Yeah.
And they're not disclosing, right? And so yeah. I guess when you're building out your model, you have to say, okay, we have our percentage we're charging, but then are there other costs associated with the management of the property? Like a property that's vacant, are you charging a set fee every month or a turn fee every month, or, you know, what all those different kinds of costs? Yeah. Talk about that for a second, because I think that's
important. Yeah, that's a conversation, you know, that we do also have with these owners when they're looking for the discounted prices. You know, the truth is, everybody in our market, in our valley here, is pretty much making the same amount of money. It's really just how they package their pricing, right? So they can give you the $75 a month flat fee. And then what you don't see, because most people, frankly, don't look at the contract that carefully. They don't look at the property management agreement and really see that there's a turnover fee. There's a cleaning fee. There's a lease up fee. There's a termination fee. So that $75 flat fee is the thing you can expect every month. And then you get your surprises along the way, and you're really making, you know, you're paying the same that you're paying me. My conversation is, we're very transparent about our fees. You know, we're honest, we're transparent. This is what we charge. There are no hidden fees. I'm very clear with exactly what you're going to pay every month.
So with the people that you're competing with in the marketplace, now, I think what's interesting about Oregon, and I'm sure it's across the country since COVID, there's been so many laws that have come into place that have been, we'll call it tenant friendly or tenant advocacy. In Oregon, we've got the first in the nation rent control, and there's been other states that have followed suit. But all lots of laws that have made it super complex. And you know, you've had the opportunity to have some property managers say, "I'm just not, I can't deal with it. I'm exiting," and they come to you and they want to sell their business to you.
Yeah.
So talk about that and the acquisition of doors through just basically buying doors from other companies, and that's been successful for you, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's another lesson I learned along the way. There are several, you know, especially here, there's a lot of small companies, 25 doors or like 75 doors, just little places, and they're doing it all themselves. And they're just, frankly, you just get sick of the laws change every single minute, it feels like, and people just get sick of it and they want out. So then I've approached them, they've approached me, and we've purchase their doors. I would never purchase their company because I want my name behind it and my systems behind it. So I purchase their doors and bring them into my company and just take them over, just like I would if an owner was coming to me with, you know, a bunch of properties that they were taking from another company. The lesson I learned is that you have to really know that company. You have to really know what the inner workings of what they're doing, because the first time I did this, I brought on, I think it was like 75 doors. It was a small little company who didn't do anything the way that I would do it. And so I remember, I drove by all the properties. I looked at them all from the outside, everything looked okay. Unfortunately, on the inside, almost all of them had horrible deferred maintenance. And what happened is it set me up to make all my new owners mad because I walked in, I saw this maintenance that needed to be done. I saw these tenants living in non-habitable properties. I start contacting the owners and asking for money, right? I want your money. I want to fix your property up. They don't want that. They don't like me. I mean, so it started a weird vibe with us from the beginning. And I lost probably, I don't know, 20% of those properties that first time. So when I did it again, I learned to to really interview the people running the company and really see how they're doing things. And I honestly went through and picked and chose what properties I wanted. Some were just not acceptable. They weren't up to my standards, or I, met the owners and just knew that we weren't going to be doing things the way they wanted us to do them. And so I just didn't pay for those ones. I just didn't bring those ones on. So that was a good lesson.
But let's talk about the actual kind of granular running your company and the kind of best practices you've learned along the way in terms of, let's start with technology. So what technology are you guys using to run your company efficiently today?
So my accounting software is AppFolio. I think it's probably the best one on the market. It is a little more expensive, but again, you get what you pay for, right? It integrates all the owner's information and the tenant's information. There's a texting service within the software so that anybody in the company can send out a text to our tenants and they can text us back, since that's the wave of the future, that's what everybody's doing, without giving out personal cell phone numbers and whatever. There's a maintenance component inside the system where people can go online and submit a work order, and we'll get it on our side and we can actually send it straight over to our vendors the way it's all set up. So we receive the work order, we figure out if we're going to do it or not. We send it straight to the vendor. Vendor does the work, sends it back to us that it's done. So all of that stuff is, takes out a lot of time in the day. I mean, it's just very seamless. We also, of course, we have to be able to allow for online rent payments. So our tenants have their own portals. They can go right on our website, get into their portal, pay their rent, find out if they're, past due or they have fees or whatever. And same for the owners. They can do the same thing. They have their owner portal where they can go in and look at their owner statement and find out what's been going on that property throughout the month. So it's all really super seamless. We can pay our owners direct deposit. I mean, these are all the things that, you've got to have this technology in place to run a successful, especially at a larger scale, a successful property management company. The other thing we have is we use a system called Z Inspector, and we found this during COVID when tenants weren't letting us into the properties. Everybody was scared of COVID, couldn't have any contact. So we invested in this brand new system. They were just coming out with it, and it's a inspection software. So you have the app on your phone. You can send this app to the tenant. They get it on their phone, and on the back end, we've preloaded the inspection. So the tenant has to go through on their side with their phone, go around their house, take pictures and videos, and answer questions about their property. And they won't be able to submit it unless they fill out every section, right? Because we've preloaded the whole thing, and then it gets sent to us. So we have all the pictures and videos and stuff. It doesn't take the place of a personal inspection. We still do those once a year, but it definitely helped during COVID to find out what was going on. And it worked so well that we now do it. We do one physical inspection a year and one tenant-led inspection a year. Before COVID, we were doing two a year, which was a position and a half for me of staff. So it eliminated one and a half positions just with you're just implementing this $200 software. So
That brings up an interesting question. So you've grown a company from 200 doors to 700 doors. What do you think in terms of how many employees per, let's say, 100 doors or whatever your metric is?
I used to say one employee per 100 doors, and I think that is kind of the standard. If you were to start researching, that's what you would pretty much come up with. everybody divides duties up differently. Some people have, you know, an actual property manager for 100 doors. Some people, like I do, we just kind of do it all together. We don't have, you know, everybody's in the mix of all the properties, not just, you know, one person for this 100 doors and one person for that 100 doors. Now for the 700 properties that we're managing, we have four people doing, running all those properties. And that's because of the software. That's because of Z-Inspector. That's because of utilizing AppFolio to its fullest capability. That's just having good processes and systems in place that just make things run faster.
And let's just talk about those duties. You've got a property manager. You got a receptionist, I know, right? What are the other two positions?
So the other two positions, they don't even really honestly have a title. They're just like property manager assistants. They're picking up signs, dropping off lock boxes. They're doing showings. They're answering the phones or submitting work orders. You know, the phone rings to everybody can answer the phone. They ring in everybody's offices. And if you answer the phone, you're expected to deal with that issue. You don't, I mean, unless it's like a licensed property manager duty, then you would pass it on. But for the most part, you know, tenants complaining about something or needs a work order submitted, you handle it from start to finish. So you're the person that initially did it. And then you're the person that makes sure it's done. And you're the person that's going to answer to me if it didn't get done. So
I think one of the biggest reasons why some people wouldn't pull the trigger on starting a property management arm of their business is emergency calls. So let's talk about, tenants are expecting you to be available 24/7. Obviously you have to be for emergencies 24/7. So how do you handle the emergency calls? Does everybody rotate?
So when I first took over the company, they were, they had a cell phone that this one number was posted as the emergency line to call. And the employees were trading off that cell phone and taking it home with them every week. Half of these employees lived out in the middle of nowhere, didn't get the calls, were out, you know, partying or whatever, didn't pick it up. So we immediately changed that. And we found an answering service it's a local answering service who we sat down and we just trained them, you know, after 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock to 8:30, you're handling these tenants' calls, but they're not all going to be emergencies. If the tenant's calling, telling you that the air conditioning is broken, that's not an emergency. Right. You're teaching them if their house is flooding with water, there's a water heater leak. Those are emergencies. And then you call us. So what we get every the next morning or like on Monday mornings after the weekends is a written out. We get emailed a list of here's all the calls that came in and what was going on, what they said was going on. And those are all the non-emergency things. And then we start handling them. And then obviously if there really were emergencies, then we would have gotten the call.
So this brings up an interesting question. And you have one of the highest, I think, ratings from tenants, which is, I think, a whole different metric than owners. Tenants really love your company. So let's talk about tenant relationships, because I think you guys have earned a reputation of being really tenant friendly, but tenant friendly. So how have you done that? What's your kind of philosophy there?
So the philosophy on that is, you know, the three of us, meaning the owners, the tenants, and the vendors, we all need each other, right, to make this company work. I need good vendors who are going to drop what they're doing and come out and handle my stuff and give me decent prices so that my owners will let me use them. I need tenants who want to rent my owner's properties, right? If I'm such a horrible property management company that, which there are some here that have that reputation, like I love that house, but I'm not going to rent from them. Then that's not going to work, right? None of us are going to make any money. So my philosophy from the very beginning has just been that between these three, the owners, tenants, and vendors, I'm the middleman, and I need this relationship to work for all of us to make money. And I'll tell you when it really helped was during COVID, when people were not paying rent, because we had tenants who truly did not want to ruin their relationship with us, who didn't want us to not want to rent to them in the future. They would call and say, you know, I can only pay $100 this week, and then I'll promise I'll come in and pay your other 100, whatever it was. And we worked with them, and we had a 90% rent collection during COVID, when everybody else was having such a hard time. You know, not only were my owners getting paid, I was getting paid, and we were all able to weather the storm.
That's great. So, the last thing is ratings and reviews, and just helping, you know, this is a hard thing when you look at ratings and reviews of property managers, because obviously you get a mad tenant and they're going to tear you up on social media or whatever. You guys have maintained a pretty high rating and review comparative to all your other companies in your market. Mm-hmm. Is that something you're asking for from tenants, or is it just organically happening?
I mean, a little bit of both. Of course we ask, you know, when people say that they've had a good experience, or, you know, come in, we get gifts, like people come in and give us stuff like, thank you so much for helping us get this property. You know, what can I do to show my gratitude? We always say, please go to Google, give us a good review. It really helps us. But we're not hounding people for them. You know, I have owners that do the same thing, that they'll say, oh my gosh, you guys are so good. People need to know how good you are. I'll say, please put it on Google and let people know. But it's also just been organic. You get 20 good reviews and one bad review. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You're always going to get somebody who's mad about something, and they're going to, you know, put it up there. But to be honest, I've had people actually defend us off those reviews. Like, I've had a tenant go put a negative review on Google, and then I've had other tenants go right under there and answer their comments with, you know, defending us. So I think we've just been really lucky that we have been able to maintain this good relationship with these tenants over the years.
Really okay. Well, you've given us a lot of great information. I know we could talk for hours about this, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of comments and questions. But if you want to check out, just from the outside, Danielle's amazing company, what's the website? People can go check out your website.
SterlingWestRentals.com.
And you guys are all over social media. Just started your own TikTok account as well. So what is the, what's the handles? Sterling West Rentals, right?
Yeah, Sterling West Rentals.
So Sterling West Rentals, you can find her on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all the other good places. So thank you for being my subject of the interview today. Good job.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
If you liked this program, please subscribe and leave a review. And if you would like to explore our coaching platform, please check out www.erealestatecoach.com for 2 free weeks of coaching. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the eRealestate Coach Podcast.